Hey there, y'all. We'll get to that episode that you pressed play on in just a second, but I wanted to make sure you knew that the club is opening again for new members next Tuesday, April 30th. The club is a virtual community of parents of kids with big, baffling behaviors and vulnerable nervous systems, and you can read all about it over at robingoble.com/the club. If you already get emails from me, you'll get a message on the 30th reminding you that the club is open. Otherwise, set yourself a calendar reminder to go to robingoble.com/the club next Tuesday, the 30th. Alrighty, let's get to that show you're waiting for.
Hello, hello. I'm Robin Goble, and this is the Parenting After a Trauma podcast, where I'll be taking the science of being relationally, socially, and behaviorally human and translating all of that for parents of children who have experienced trauma. This podcast was created to get you free, easily accessible support as fast as possible. So each episode is the audio from my weekly Facebook Lives with no fancy or time-consuming editing. Check the show notes for any links, downloads, or resources I mention. Thanks for inviting me onto your journey. I hope you enjoy. In today's episode, I'm joined by guest Anne Heffron. Anne is a writing coach, adopted person, and author of the book, You Don't Look Adopted. Anne is actually my writing coach. We've known each other through the adoption community for years, but only connected personally a year ago. I'd say that we instantly adored each other, but I think the truth is that it took some time to feel vulnerable enough with each other to instantly adore each other. Anne is just a delight. I hope you love her as much as I do. Enjoy. We wanted to come to Facebook today and talk about this idea of how do we get more comfortable saying the unsayable. And you know, this is this idea that it's really funny, Anne, because I look back and notice the parallels in a way of our work, that figuring out how to say the unsayable. And in the office, I used to talk a lot about like making the implicit explicit or making the insides and the outsides match, like being able to use our words on the outside to talk about what was actually happening on the inside, right? Is this overarching piece of the therapeutic work that I was continually doing with the kids and families in my office. I think it's been such a huge part of my own therapeutic work. And then you and I joined up, at, you know, almost a whole year ago now, which is crazy to think about. It's been a whole year. And then I'm watching it unfold in this whole new way through the writing, right? And how you have been such an enormous part in me trying to do this next piece of the story, right? And getting the story out, and ultimately, right, like figuring out how to say the unsayable, and what the power that there is in that. And then specifically, I think for adoptive families, right? How do we get more comfortable? How do we get more comfortable saying the unsayable, and why does it matter? So let's start there. Why do you think it matters? Why does it matter?
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, even backing it up a step and to define what the unsayable is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Tell me what that, like, what comes up for you when we say that?
Well, I think it's a body sense. You know, it's like, it's something that I carry inside of me. And so that if you and I are talking, it's almost that there's a wall between us. And I've only become hyper conscious of the wall because I was so used to living a secretive life that seemed like a safe way to live. But now what I'm seeing is what I thought was safety, you know, the walls, the things that I wasn't saying, you know, for example, you know, if you're my parent, it would might be, I don't feel safe with you. I'm scared. Do we have any money? Like, how come you don't ask me if I need new shoes? How come you're always worried about your weight? Does that mean that you're worried about my weight? If you don't think you're okay, how can I be okay? And I feel like the unsayable are things that truly you don't think you can say.
Right.
And so that doesn't even feel like the sayable part doesn't make sense. I remember going to family counseling and there was no way I was going to say this stuff.
Right.
Because I would have died.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents would have seen that. Yeah, to show people the truth when you've been living what's not the truth.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so what do you, like, do you have any thoughts about what could have made that be different? Like, how could the idea of saying these things or saying what couldn't be said, how could it have been an option that didn't feel like it was going to lead to death and, like, self-annihilation?
Yeah, I'm actually super clear on that because I could see that there were times I would have liked to have shared with my mom because I would have liked to have really, really connected with her. Like, I ached to connect with her. And there's two incidences in particular that I've written about before, but they're, and maybe I'll do them with my daughter just so I can, like, experience them. But one was, I wish that my mom and I had sat down at a table and either did a collage or some sort of drawing, imagining what my birth mom or first mom had looked like. Like, that we had just had, like, she wouldn't even have to say a lot.
Right.
It would just be of creating a container of space for me to be curious with her in that space.
Right.
And the other is, I wish that when I was smaller, but not that small, like maybe eight, she would have held me and we could have both cried about the fact that I was both her daughter and not her daughter.
Yeah.
And like somehow, and I don't need to her have said a whole lot, more just to acknowledge that that happened. And I think that it's that the paradox of living, of being able to live with two things and not having people try to resolve it.
Right. Yeah. And that feels like it's the linchpin in a way that in order to even imagine this idea of saying what can't be said is figuring out how to have two completely, like, opposing, contradictory experiences and have them not mean anything about the other. Like, they just get to be both totally true, even though they seem like they couldn't possibly be true at the same time. Right.
Exactly. And not having someone, and I think a clue that you have an idea that is something unsayable is that you actually don't know how you would say it. Like, language fails you.
Yeah.
So you feel like even if I tried to tell this to you, you wouldn't understand.
Right.
And so with writing, I'm big on lists, like on like not worrying if a sentence makes sense, because if you're going to say something that feels unsayable, it means it's outside of what's normal.
Right.
And so language might not, the language that we have might not serve you.
Right.
Right. So draw pictures. Like,
right.
It requires patience of the other person to bear witness as you try to articulate.
Yes.
But just because you can't make a complete sentence doesn't mean it's not a good thought.
Well, not only does it not mean it's not a good thought, but in a way it doesn't mean that it's, I think I love what you said, like, it's a clue and it also doesn't mean that it isn't sayable. It's just that maybe it's sayable without, in a different way than with words. Like, even your example of what if we had sat down and made a collage, right? And how taking something that felt unsayable and saying it, it doesn't have to be with words, right? That the collage is the saying. And even the, like, being held, like, I wish we could have just both, you know, held each other in this space of, you know, like, for your mom, like you're my daughter, but not, and,
Yeah. Wait,
do you think that she could ever even had that level of honesty with herself? No.
No.
Yeah. So then, of course, holding that truth with you was, that was like literally impossible.
Right. And so, and so if she can't fully accept who I am, then how could I, but but I think even, even if we had made a pie together and not said anything about anything, but if she had really worked to be fully present,
right,
that would have been an amazing experience.
Right.
And I realize I don't do that for my daughter that well.
If you're listening to the Baffling Behavior Show as a therapist or some other kind of helping professional, I'll bet you've wondered how to incorporate owls, watchdogs, and possums directly into your work with kids. My colleague, Rose LaPierre, and I co-wrote a course together called All Behavior Makes Sense, Play Therapy with Kids with Vulnerable Nervous Systems. And Rose will be teaching it virtually in May. The course offers 6 CEs, including APT CEs, through the TheraPlay Institute. Part 1 of this course begins May 10th, so you have until then to register. But space is limited due to CE requirements, so I wouldn't delay registering if I was you. I'll put a live link down in the show notes, or just go to robingoble.com/TheraPlay2024.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, and especially those of us who do this for a living in a way, help people with presence, right? Yeah. Like you and I both do that, is help people be more present for themselves. And then part of our work involves like being really present for them, right?
Yeah.
Probably all of us could, be really honest and say, there's a lot of room for improvement in doing that with the people that matter most.
Yeah.
Right? For me, my husband and my own son. And it's really hard.
Yeah. I was thinking that my daughter needs my words, but it occurred to me the other day, it really occurred to me, she needs me to listen even when she's not talking. So if I fill the space between us with my words, cause I'm nervous cause she's not talking, it allows her even less to talk. So maybe I can just even listen to her silence.
Yeah. Yeah. And our own.
Yes.
Right. That.
Yeah.
I know I could definitely say I don't, as much as I think I'm, wildly introspective and spend a lot of time, that true quietness and presence of listening, and really offering that to ourselves is probably something we could do a lot more often than we do.
Well, I imagined in the Flourish class the other day, we were talking about something like this. And I imagined that I was thinking, why do I surround myself with noise when it doesn't even look like I am? My head starts counting or it does something.
Yeah.
And I realized that when you've had some kind of vital break with your mother, even if you were separated at birth or if your mother wasn't able to connect with you, what I imagine is there was a moment of silence, in a car crash, right before it happens, everything slows down. And I imagine that in my brain, silence is terror.
Right.
Because silence means something really, really bad is going to happen. But silence is also, that's when you can gather your thoughts and that's when you can figure out, that's when you can most exist. So I've been really working on feeling okay with silence and this idea of saying the unsayable. I think that's where you find the words is in the silence. And even if you just let it be one word.
Yeah.
Like you and I, in our last conversation, we kind of said the unsayable to each other. Mm-hmm. We were talking about a conversation and so I think that leads to the why. Why would you want to say the unsayable? Yep. And I don't know about you, but I feel more connected to you after we talked about something that normal people don't talk about.
Yeah. Okay. So not only is that totally true, but also more connected to myself. Mm-hmm. And even though like it wasn't this mind-blowing conversation of this, like, oh, I've never thought of it this way before. It wasn't that at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, yes, mm-hmm. I think about that all the time. It still had this new way it like sunk in, right? Like it was like one more puzzle piece that found itself that didn't really even know it was looking. And so just one new layer of I want to say like connection to self and some, and almost like a new piece of wholeness that got right.
It feels so good to feel seen, right? Yes. Like if I say that thing and you say, oh yes. And then you feel like, oh, I am not like a fish in my own fishbowl, just banging into the glass.
Right. Not only that, but it's, I'm not all alone. I'm not the only one who's had this experience. And I'm with somebody. And when I think about kids, especially, and go like thinking about how do we do this inside our families, but I'm with somebody who is brave enough to just go head on into this and show me with their bigness, because I'm small, that it's not that scary. That's not that scary. And together, scary things are a little bit less scary and we can figure them out. And there's another side to it, right? It's not always only scary.
Yeah. Yes. And then that, scary becomes, if you introduce curiosity to scary, then you have adventure.
Right. Right.
Or at least snack time.
Or both. I mean, both are good. Yeah. And then there's an element of play that comes in.
Yeah.
Right. And all the goodness that happens when we introduce play and delight and.
Yeah. How do you, because I feel like the core problem with saying the unsayable is the feeling of safety, that if you do it, you're going to not be safe, and that you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your friends, you're going to, you know, how do we create a container for people, like a basic understanding that you're actually not safe when you don't speak your, when you don't say the unsayable, you're living in polluted water.
Right.
And it is actually better.
Yeah.
Are those your chickens?
Yes. Those are the chickens. They get raucous sometimes. Maybe somebody laid an egg. They get raucous about that. Who knew? Well, I had no idea. Yeah. There's like a little party that they all have.
Because it hurts.
I guess. I don't know. My husband said it's also a way that they're talking to each other so the one laying can find the flock again. I don't know. Oh, he totally might have made that up.
So
I have no idea
if
that's
egg,
true.
Am I supposed to make noises so you'll know? So wait, if I
but
lay
we can
egg,
find
you
each other again.
Yeah.
Yes, I will. I will. Well, absolutely.
Hey, maybe this is laying the unlayable.
Let's book. Don't remember what you said now, and it was really important. Yes. I remember now the safety that there's, I think both, again, here we are back in like the both are true pieces, and that when it comes right down to it, it's like the unsayable thing is happening. We might as well, we might as well just acknowledge it. It's not like we're creating something that isn't happening already. And so in a way, you're absolutely right. Like it creates more safety. But I also think that it is very true that for some people, it isn't safe, right? To say, like, safe meaning this relationship could fall apart, right? That we've all kind of mutually agreed to this way of being in relationship with each other, which is that we don't say what's there. You know, whether that be with our kids or our partners or our friends or our parents or whatever, you know, there's like this mutually agreed upon contract. Like we just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And there is risk in a way,
yeah,
of saying what's feels unsayable. So I think just acknowledging that that's true, yeah, right?
That, and like, that's a decision that you make, yeah, right? It's like, yep, do I want to live sort of like an animal in a zoo where the right cage keeps me safe, which actually, right, like those animals are safe. They get, yeah, fed. And I don't mean that you're an animal if you do, yeah, that. I just mean like for some people, right, or do I, you know, Joseph Campbell, he said, follow your bliss, but he didn't say have your bliss. He said, follow it. Mm-hmm. And so this work is, it's a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a decision that I want to acknowledge is really hard, is really brave.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, it's already happening. So let's just jump, yes, in. Yeah. Let's just jump in and do it. And our kids really, really need us to.
Yeah.
And you know, well, so you know that like there's been a lot going on in my personal family here, yeah, lately. And, yeah, a lot of people who know just enough have asked, what does your son know? Like that's been a really common question. You know, what does your son know? And he's 14, so he's big. Yeah. I'm like, well, he knows everything. Like, first, right, of all, he lives here. And, right, so it's really not something. Like it's happening here in his house, in his family. So he knows, right, all, he knows it. And then absolutely, we're giving a ton, mm, of language to it. And we're talking, mm, about it. And we're sitting down and we're being explaining and we're, mm, being really curious about what his experience is and what are you noticing? But it has been fascinating to note, to, wow, notice that that's a question that a lot of people are asking. What does your son, wow, know? He knows everything.
And you know, when you say that, what I picture is that, I mean, this is maybe terrible, but I just picture like potential cancer cells that are in all your bodies get free. Because I feel like when you hold these things inside, yes, like the why of saying the unstable is to get the blockages, which turn into illness, out of your body.
Yes. Yeah.
And if it's in your body, your children,
right,
feel it also. Like, right, the cost is so high. Yes. You're not doing anyone a favor by keeping it inside.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, yeah, there's research that supports this. Like, yeah, the stress, yeah, on our bodies when, right, we're living in this, what's happening is we're living in this kind of chronic state of inauthenticity.
Right, right.
Internal inauthenticity, which, yes, our brains are registering as a threat. So, mm-hmm, we land ourselves in this place of being in chronic, mild, or more than mild fight, yeah, flight. So now we've got, you know, our HPA access, and our, like, everything,
yeah,
everything that's hard, yeah, is happening.
And if you're a kid and you're getting it because your parents carry that stress,
yeah,
and then you start carrying their stress, then you think something's wrong with you.
You.
Because, yes, no one's given you language. Right. And it's detrimental to your entire life. I mean, yeah, it's so crazy to me now that I'm not afraid to say things that I used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've told you before, like, that is something, that's probably one of the reasons I've been so, like, drawn to you is, for the most part, like, my experience of you is that you aren't afraid to say things. Like, you say things, no, and put them out there, and then kind of later go, sometimes it's not great, right? But,
right,
oh well,
right,
you're still alive, right?
Yeah, there's people that don't talk to me anymore.
Yeah.
But I feel like the things that I said, you know, yeah, they come from my heart.
Yeah.
And if people can't tolerate them, then, yeah, that's super fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't have to sort of try to balance my heart.
Right.
Like that, the health of who I, of who, right, I am because of other, right, people's ability to tolerate what I feel is my truth.
Your truth, right? Yeah. So turning, yeah, towards yourself.
Yeah.
Saying like, this is my truth in this moment.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I was reading this book on gardening and, you know, like there's some plants you just don't garden together, uh-huh, you know, like, and I, of course I already, uh-huh, forgot what they are, but like, right, you don't put something with tomatoes because they, yes, don't do well.
They don't,
and it doesn't
do
mean
well.
Tomatoes are bad or, you know, like, it just put them in, yeah, a different pot.
They just can't be together.
No, but they can all thrive.
Yeah. I like, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do. We have a ton to, I mean, we always have a lot to talk about, right?
I know.
But we are also getting together starting this Thursday, right?
Yes.
Gosh, the last couple of weeks have been a blur. Yeah. So this Thursday, you and I are starting our Story Under the Story series.
Yes. Super excited. So I'm basically taking the write or die that the class that I help, that I use to help people figure out what it is they have to say, who are they, who's their audience, and what's getting in their way. And then we're going to work at it for the whole triad.
Yes. So we have opened this class up. It's a 6-week class, and we are inviting everybody touched by adoption. So adopted parents, adopted people, and first families, birth families, families who have lost kids to adoption are all invited to take this 6-week course where we're hoping it will be just one more step in everybody's journey, which is never ending, of really connecting to our own stories.
Yes.
And for me, who works primarily with parents, thinking about how impactful this can be for parents, and when we come into like contact and connection and compassion, curiosity with our own story that's just right underneath, how much space we open up for our kids, like for us to see our kids' story under their story, and then for them to see themselves too, and to feel like okay with
it's super exciting.
Yeah.
If I could have done this with my mom, I would give anything to go back in time and do this with her. Yeah.
And there you have it. Anne was wonderful, right? Check out her blog at anneheffern.com. Thanks for tuning in. If you're loving this No Fuss, No Frills podcast, please share with other parents and professionals who are looking for support in caring for kids with a history of complex trauma. See you next time. Are you ending this episode with maybe big sigh of relief, like, yes, finally, someone gets me and my kids? But also maybe a sense of like, okay, but now what? All right, y'all, I've got lots of possible now whats. If you want to connect with me directly, like pick my brain, have access to me almost every day, not to mention hundreds of other parents from around the world who totally get what it's like to be you, then you're going to want to join us in the club. We have monthly live events, including groups for siblings of dysregulated kids, a huge video library with something like 80 or 90 videos, plus transcripts and certificates of completion. Plus, of course, a very active forum that I'm participating in every single day. We open for new members periodically, so go check robingoble.com/the club. If we aren't open now, you can put yourself on the waiting list, and I'll let you know the moment we open for new members. That's robingoble.com/the club. Now, if you're a professional and you want to strengthen your capacity to work with the families of kids with big, baffling behaviors and vulnerable nervous systems, plus use all of my materials, including a 12-module course that follows raising kids with big, baffling behaviors, plus be included in an online searchable directory so families all over the world could find you, then you're looking for Being With, which is my year-long immersive training program that runs January through December. So you'll want to go to robingoble.com/beingwith, read all about it, and if you're interested, put yourself on that waiting list too. Now, if you just maybe need a little extra connection and co-regulation, but don't feel like you need to join the club, then you can just keep listening to my podcast, or you could go subscribe to my Start Here podcast, and that'll give you 10 episodes in order that will take you through cultivating a great foundation of parenting with regulation, connection, and felt safety. That's at robingoble.com/start here. You have to go there. You can't just find it in your podcast app. Or you could get yourself a copy of Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors, paper book, audio book, ebook. You can get that anywhere books are sold. Or you could just head to my website, download one of my very many free resources. I keep them all really easy to access at robingoble.com/free resources. Webinars, masterclasses, ebooks, infographics, all sorts of stuff. Go check it out. See what of those things could be supportive of you or maybe to the other adults in your life who are helping support you and your child. There are just so many ways that you and I could be more connected, and you can get the amount of co-regulation and support that you need. If it feels like a lot to remember, all you have to do is go to robingoble.com and take your time clicking around, seeing what I got there. I am so, so glad you and I are connected now, and I can't wait to be with you again soon in our next episode of the Baffling Behavior Show. Bye-bye, y'all.